We have Liz Figge joining us by telephone. I assume you want to start with paper 16, Liz?
That would be great, yes.
Okay, take it away.
Okay. So agenda paper 16 discusses a submission about the application of IAS 32 to three particular financial instruments. The submission describes the instruments and asks whether IAS 32 would require the same accounting, and if so, what that accounting would be. The contractual terms of the three instruments are set out in paragraphs 3 and 4 of the paper, but just to summarize, none of the instruments have a stated maturity date, but the holder may put the instruments back to the issuer at any time. If the holder exercises that right, the issuer has the contractual right to choose to deliver either cash or a fixed number of its own shares. If the issuer chooses to settle any of the instruments by delivering a fixed number of its own shares, the value of those shares does not exceed substantially the value of the cash settlement alternative. And the issuer is not required to pay dividends on these instruments. We think the substance of these three instruments is the same, and therefore that IAS 32 would require the same classification. Classification shouldn't depend simply on how the contractual arrangement is worded. Specifically, we think IAS 32 would require that the three instruments are classified as equity in their entirety. We think paragraph 16B in IAS 32 is clear that a non-derivative meets the definition of equity if the issuer can settle its obligation by delivering a fixed number of its own shares. However, if an instrument has a stated term and at the maturity date the issuer is required to pay cash, we think that instrument is fundamentally different because the issuer has a contractual obligation to deliver cash, and that obligation meets the definition of a financial liability. We think the appropriate classification can be derived from IAS 32 without further guidance, and therefore recommend that the Interpretations Committee should not take this issue onto its agenda. We did request feedback on this submission, and we received 14 responses. About half of the respondents noted that the instrument in the submission is not common in their jurisdiction, and therefore they didn't provide a view on the accounting. The remaining respondents did provide a view. Some of those respondents noted that one or more of the instruments in the submission are common in their jurisdiction. Others noted that similar instruments exist. And a few said that they're not aware of any such instruments in their jurisdiction, but nonetheless they provided their view on how IAS 32 should be applied. Views were mixed. Some respondents noted that some in their jurisdiction thought the instruments or similar instruments should be equity in their entirety, while others in their jurisdiction thought it should be a liability or a compound instrument. The other respondents said that the consistent view or practice in their jurisdiction is that these instruments or similar instruments are or should, in their view, be classified as equity in their entirety. Our questions for you are set out after paragraph 35 in the paper. Do you agree with our analysis and recommendation that this issue should not be added to your agenda?
Comments or questions for Liz?
I'm sorry, Wayne, I couldn't hear you.
I asked if anybody had anything to say to you.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were asking me a question. Jumped the gun.
No. Charlotte.
I agree with the staff. I thought they were clearly equity. I wasn't actually sure what the debate was, and I think we should reject. I would reject it from the agenda. I was actually surprised that some of the jurisdictions were coming to different answers, to be honest.
I think there were concerns in some jurisdictions that these transactions were structured around trying to make something they thought was a liability look like equity, and they were concerned that they were seen structuring. That's the problem. Andrew?
Yeah, I agree with the analysis. Just a couple of comments on the agenda decision. I think just to make it clear, where we talk about settling in cash, we should make it clear we're talking about a fixed amount of cash. And in the second paragraph where we say, therefore, if the substance of a particular financial instrument is the same, I think it would be better and consistent with earlier discussions on this sort of topic if we said the contractual substance of a particular financial instrument is the same, because when IFRIC and the board have discussed this issue in the past, we've talked about the substance of the contractual arrangements rather than just the substance of the instrument. But other than that, I was fine with it.
Laurence?
Well, Sam, I agree with the staff analysis. I think that for July we'll have other types of instruments we will look at, where we have the same types of issue about liability, equity, classification. And I think it is going also important to look not only at the option that the issuer in the other submission has, but also the instrument itself, where I understand that maybe settled at maturity in a variable number of share with a cap and a floor. And it is going to be important to also go through similar types of analysis of the instrument itself and whether the option at the end of the issue changes things.
Sandy?
I guess my comment was similar to Andrew's, is that I read this and I wasn't clear if we were talking about a fixed amount of cash. When you look at paragraph 5, it says we've assumed that, but I didn't know if we've assumed that or that was part of this submission. And so to me, I wasn't clear in each of these scenarios if the amount of cash delivered was already agreed upon, if that was in the submission or something we assumed. Because to me, you get a different answer if it's not a fixed amount of cash.
In the submission list?
Yeah, and actually, I think paragraph 5 was not meant to indicate that I had assumed that the cash amount was fixed, actually. I think I used the term fixed for fixed principle perhaps a bit too loosely there. What I assumed in paragraph 5 was that the number of shares that the issuer had to deliver was indeed fixed. So the only point I was trying to make in that paragraph was that I wasn't addressing the very very sensitive topic of what fixed meant. Now, in the submission, it did not state what the amount of cash was, whether it was variable or fixed. Now, I did go back to the submitter and ask that question, and indeed, the amount of cash is fixed to a certain extent. So essentially, the cash amount that's payable is any outstanding principal plus any accrued interest. Having said that, my analysis in this paper, my view is that this is a non-derivative. Therefore, it doesn't affect the analysis whether the amount of cash is fixed. So my personal view is, as long as the issuer has the unconditional right to settle this instrument by delivering a fixed number of its own shares, that meets the definition of equity in 16B for a non-derivative.
Guido?
That is exactly what I wanted to say. So I think 3216B letter I is clear, and under these circumstances, whether you put it into different words in a contract, so we have, I think, three different types of contracts here. At the end of the day, it's the issuer's option, unconditional option, to deliver a fixed number of shares, and that's what the standard says, it's equity. So I think I agree.
I agree with the analysis, although I must admit I read something a little bit differently than I'm hearing it discussed. Paragraph 4C says if the issuer decides to settle any of the instruments by delivering a fixed number of shares, the value of those shares does not exceed substantially the value of the cash settlement alternative. I assume that actually meant that the cash settlement alternative was whatever the then value of the shares would be. In other words, the holder is going to get the conversion value either in shares or cash. I don't know how you could make this statement otherwise.
Just easier than going back to Liz, and I think I know what her answer is going to be. The only reason why we had that confirmation in there is because of the specific paragraph in IAS 32 that basically says if you've got a right to deliver a fixed number of shares or cash, but the value of shares you're going to deliver is so onerous that it really compels you to pay cash, then don't just assume you can blindly say it's cash share settled. So it's just meant to eliminate that extreme scenario from the analysis.
Okay. That was not how I read it. I kind of read it as, you know, if the bond was issued for 1,000 and at the conversion slash put date, the shares into which it was convertible were worth 1,500, then the cash you'd have to pay would be 1,500. But you're saying the cash you'd have to pay would be 1,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I and just paper, to add to that, so it's paragraph 20B in IS 32. So I'm just confirming that we don't trip paragraph 20B.
Okay.
And that specifically was in the submission.
That's fine.
Sandy, did you have something else on that?
Well, I got a little that I actually had underlined that exact sentence, and as I read it, I was sort of hung up on, is it a fixed amount of cash or is it not a fixed amount of cash, right? Because I guess I have to go back. I never resolved that in my own mind, so I could never sort of get to the conclusion. Because I was sort of hung up on that, because while the issuer has the right to repay them early, as the holder, I ultimately determine the maturity, right? So I can in some way affect the yield that I get by the fact that what day I show up for my money. And if I have the cash amount, I'm not explaining this very well, I'm sort of doing off the top of my head, but I could never resolve to myself that I couldn't actually determine a specific yield. So to me, I was hung up on whether or not just my delivery of shares, if those shares were readily convertible to cash, isn't it the same thing? So I don't know. I never got to a full conclusion because I was sort of hung up on those paragraphs at the very beginning.
Let me see if I understand it. As I understand the facts that were submitted, the amount of cash is variable only to the extent of the number of days since the last coupon payment.
Yes.
So, yeah, you'll get a different amount of cash on the day before the next, well, halfway through the coupon than you would if the coupon had just paid. But that's just accrued interest.
Yep.
But the principal, Scott's example of 1,000, you're going to get 1,000. You're not going to get 1,500, you're going to get 1,000.
It doesn't say that in here.
Well, that's certainly the way I read it.
Yeah, okay.
But
I have to read it again.
I understand that it might have been confusing. Andrew?
I don't think it would change, by the way, if the cash was the conversion value. So, I think your answer is still the same.
Because it's not a derivative.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Andrew?
I guess I think we're in violent agreement here, so I don't want to prolong the discussion, but I mean, if, and I don't know the answer to this without thinking about it long and hard, if the cash was truly variable on the share price, is there no embedded derivative in there somewhere? I don't want to go there, but
that's,
I mean,
just an equity instrument.
But if the share price tanks, so you can settle it for a small amount of cash, I don't know.
I think typically if you have a perpetual instrument and the issuer could choose either to deliver a fixed number of shares or the cash value of those shares, then typically that would be treated as still an equity instrument in its entirety.
Is that the cash value of those shares?
No, but this is Andrew's variant.
Okay, reminder to everybody, if you speak and your microphone isn't heard, it's the tree fell in the forest and nobody was there. And so, all right, to take Andrew's word, I think we're in violent agreement. Andrew, you had a suggestion to the wording of the agenda decision.
A contractual substance. Which
contractual substance rather than substance. I don't have a problem with that. Anybody else? Okay, it will stand as done then. Liz, paper 17.
Okay.